Design-Ikone. Offroad-Legende. Einer souveräner als der andere. Da bleibt wenig Luft nach oben. Aber ein Blick, der Ihnen den Atem raubt. In den Skyview-Sondermodellen Discovery Sport und Range Rover Evoque. Jetzt serienmäßig mit Panoramaglasdach und attraktivem Preisvorteil. Bei Ihrem Land Rover-Partner. Land Rover. Above and beyond.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560. Presented by End Zone Sports Bar and State Farm Insurance Houston.
The dance part. Oh! There goes the runner. There goes Correa again! Batted down and intercepted. Intercepted by J.J. Watt. Touchdown, Houston.
Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
I said the king's in the building. Tell me how you feeling. Yeah, I said the king's in the building.
SB Nation 1560, what is going on? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris Tamez. Producer of Sports Kings After Dark. I'm also here with the Sports Kings themselves, Mario Cordova and David Ramon. What's going on, guys? Talk to me.
Hey, what's the deal, Chris? Man, on a Sunday already, we kind of went through Saturday pretty quickly. We had the late start yesterday, but we're back at 10 o'clock tonight.
That's right.
And, man, don't we got a lot? You know what? I want to start off with already that, yes, we're going to talk a little bit of basketball today. A little bit of basketball. I guess I shouldn't be saying a little bit of basketball. Yeah, and you know, the good thing about this is that as the season ends, well, the season already ended, but as it ends and we go into summer, it's just like there's just more and more stuff coming up. Right, Mario?
All the time.
And being around this time, it is a good time to be definitely be in the whole basketball circle right now. It's because of all the, not the drama that's happening back in the background, but of all the
all
business.
This drama.
All the business, you know, that's going on, and you know all the rumors, the trade rumors, mm-hmm. and we still get to talk about the draft a little bit, just because it's still relevant to everything that's going on.
That's right.
So it's definitely an interesting weekend, and also we have Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report, the lead LA writer out there. So that's going to be fun. He's going to be able to school us a little bit on what's going on, especially on the West Coast, and also we even hear news about some guys from the West Coast coming down here.
So it's been rumored.
I mean, we're hearing a lot of rumors. I mean, today, I just, right when we got in the studio, I just saw the whole three-way trade thing, which is going to be ridiculous if that happens. Because honestly, I wasn't expecting anything to happen as of right now.
You know, this is the time where you have to make a move, especially after what Cavs did during during the playoffs this year. They know they're going to have to get out there and get something because Love wasn't giving them anything. So why not go get PG? Okay. On maybe a year, you know what I mean? And maybe give them that year, because let's be honest, if they don't do anything, I don't think LeBron's going to stay. So,
and you know what? This is something I still haven't yet come to see real quick, just because, I mean, when you think LeBron about how the way he coming back, it's like, really, man, you gonna think about leaving again already? And, you know, kind of we think that he has all the pieces that he needs. But does he really need more? Like, come on, you're the best player in the world, but you're still really kind of complaining about, you know, who's around you. And well, you got some guys around you, you know, ain't no lying about that.
Yeah, you got Kyrie, you know, you got Love, but it's not that they don't have pieces, it's just that the pieces they had just didn't show up during the playoffs this year. You know what I mean? Kyle Korver was nowhere to be found. You know, Williams was nowhere to be found. So what are you going to do?
I think those are kind of things that he brought upon himself, though, just a little bit. Because, I mean, think about the way the NBA is kind of going. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys don't get drafted just because they're 22 now.
True.
Which is wild to me. But, I mean, they're, you know, drafting free agents, or not drafting, but getting free agents that are a little past their prime, but they can still do something because they're still in the league. But, I mean, it's pretty... Can we call that science that, you know, just because it's someone older doesn't really mean they're going to perform the way they really should?
No, of course not. You know what I mean? Because how many guys that really have been one and done and coming to this league and just, you know, been that type of guy? It's very rare, you know, few and in between. So, I don't know. Like you said, it's going to be interesting this year. I can't wait for this offseason to conclude to see where everybody's going to wind up when everyone's going because, you know, Houston's in the market.
Oh, yeah.
We in the market. We making moves.
Man, doing on that Daryl Morey schedule, man. And it is a good thing to be like that just because I'm looking at what the Rockets are doing, of course, in the draft. And, of course, we trade off the second pick. And the first pick is a player from overseas.
Yeah.
And to go through that and to not really spend no guaranteed money, you know, that has anything to do with that, yo, that's big.
Oh, yeah. Because all this, because it's like the salary cap we're having now is like we won't have to, it's like buy now, pay later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, we can get everything we want up front at this point in time, and it actually gives us a year or two, you know, to worry about it at a later point in time. So are we going to make moves? You know how this this Rocket front office can be, you know? Yeah. So, you know, are they going to leave us wanting, or are they going to go make the moves and give Harden what he needs?
They do a good job of teasing us a little bit and showing us a little. Whenever they picked up Isaiah Hartenstein, I was really impressed. It's because, first of all, I didn't think that he was going to last that long.
Yeah.
The way they talk about this guy is that if he would have stayed another year and didn't go to the draft next year, he would have been a top five lottery pick for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing something like that, especially about a guy who's 19 years old, that's a lot of promise. And he's not one of these guys who's just a stick either. He's 7 foot and also 250, I believe. And he comes down with authority. And I mean, that's what more can you like with that?
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of like Clint in his maybe second year with the Rockets, you know, when it comes to mass wise,
yes.
To see a guy that we can just get in the late round like that and still is going to do a year of development before he comes back. I mean, we still looking promising right now. Are you really too mad about the roster as of right now with the Rockets?
I wouldn't say mad as if much more that we need to do something. You know what I mean? Because we're not going to do like we did last year where we had almost the whole same team coming the next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We never addressed the issues that we had. And if we did, we tried, and it was already later in the season. And then when we did try to, to get those acquisitions, it didn't turn out the way we wanted.
You know, the funny thing is that I've fail to forget sometimes how one side of the court can fuel the other side of the court.
Mm-hmm.
But as well as when defense fuels offense, sometimes that offense can fuel the defense a little bit by slowing those other guys down. And that's something that the Rockets kind of did good, was making guys play a half-court offense pretty much and kind of have them on the defensive side. That's pretty good. But, man, just to see this team coming out this summer already, from what it looks like, hearing the talks of possibly Patrick Beverley, Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, talking little rumors over here, talking about he's not happy, you know?
And that's a crazy thing to think about, because, I mean, especially with the year Pat had, I mean, man, he improved on everything that you can possibly want him to improve on for this offensive team.
Agreed.
And, I mean, he became a shooter after we said that he couldn't really shoot too much. Then, I mean, he also became a better ball handler and getting to the rim. Everything that you can want, he can do it. So, I mean, I definitely don't hate that a lot of guys or a lot of teams are looking at him, because, of course, look at how he plays. I'm surprised that more teams are not knocking at the door.
True, but, you forget there's also a CP3 out there in the market.
And that's, man, that's really interesting, because then him and Griffin.
That's what I'm saying, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if this is going to be like a package deal. You know, kind of sort of like when Ray Allen and all those guys left from the Celtics, they kind of went all together.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if that's going to be this type of deal. Like, if Chris is like, hey, if I get down here, he likes the H, you know, he'll say, Blake, hey, Blake, come on down here. Imagine that CP3, Blake Griffin, and James Harden coming down the court.
Mm. You know what? That sounds beautiful. But, of course, I think one thing we can talk to Eric in a bit is about what we have to do in order to make that happen.
Do we have the money?
And that's the thing, too. As Rockets, I mean, they're kind of smart, like we said, but not, spending no money during the draft. But, we get to see if, they can still squeeze something in. Because I don't think we can probably get two, but one sounds very doable for us. Because especially with a young kind of core that we have right now.
Agreed.
And also, we get to talk about the big three. And first of all, the biggest letdown ever, and how we didn't find out until today. Like, me and Mario texting this morning, and we definitely had on our schedule to watch the big three.
That's
at
right.
1 o'clock, thinking it was about to kick off, and we just jump on Fox Sports, and nothing. It's
I'm
on
watching
tape delay.
Jeff Gordon talking about NASCAR.
It's on a next day tape delay, and even finding info about what was going on, because of course they're not going to announce scores and stats and everything, and it's kind of a bummer, man. This is the future. Like, how you not have this live somewhere?
Not even streaming. Like, nothing. I was like, man, someone's going to be streaming.
I found video of, I guess, of it maybe officially of how it'll look. Maybe, but I saw like a brief video of someone shooting the ball, and I'm just like, what was that? 10 hours ago,
when
I was looking for that. So we get to talk about Big Three, because the stats and everything, the scores did come out a little earlier. But, man, I was so disappointed. And I don't know how this can happen. Also, White Chocolate, Jason Williams gets
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Spoiler
and
alert.
This is the thing that I hate about it. Of course, I think, Chris, you're addressing this about wrestling yesterday about how, you know, the tape delays and how, you know, we got technology now. So it's not like they can hide the scores from us or stop us from seeing it tomorrow.
Very true.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, or I shouldn't say stop us from seeing it tomorrow, but pretty much preventing us a little bit, because I feel that a lot of guys who weren't too interested are not going to watch it. It's because they just rather catch highlights and see the
right,
score.
Right, you know.
I don't know how
so
many
that got
people,
me kind of mad.
We definitely know about some game winners, though.
Oh, yeah.
Which was pretty cool, and a lot of the games were actually really close. So that's, you know, all that together, it makes me happy to know that it's a good product, because, of course, of all the people who showed up, mm-hmm. I believe it was over 15,000, I believe, in the Barclays Center. So, man, that's good news
that's
for them.
That's right. Show up, Brooklyn. You already know. Turn out.
And also, I did hear of a D'Angelo Russell sighting, and it was met with boos.
Oh, really?
I mean, of course, those are just tweets that I did,
right,
you know, see. And, but I
wonder, at least he's showing up. At least it's like Corey Brewer just walking around the gallery, and I can't say hi to people. But it's all right.
You know what? Whenever we saw him just walking, I was really surprised. I saw him really late. And if I would have saw him ahead of time, I definitely would have stuck my head out the window. Corey! Yeah, I mean, at least, right? It's the least what we can do.
All right, man, come on. You know? Man, anyway.
But, yeah, so we still get to talk Big 3, Astros, and also some fighting stuff that you didn't really get to cover yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. A big controversy. Not a big controversy, but I guess a letdown for that Ryan Bader, Phil Davis fight. You know, the first one was also a letdown. The second one was supposed to be better. But, it wasn't. But, you know, congratulations to Ryan Bader finally, you know, getting that belt, the title he's wanted.
And also, what was there a fight tonight as well?
Yeah, that's right. You have UFC going on right now on Fox Sports 1. You know, some really good fights so far. BJ Penn against Dennis Siva. Dennis Siva taking that victory so far. You know, you have also my boy Michael Chelsea fighting tonight against this young up-and-coming fighter who I haven't seen, Devon Lee. I actually haven't seen one of his fights, so I'm quite interested about that. And as well as two other guys on the card before that, and I don't know who they are. But stay tuned, guys. You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark, SB Nation, 1516 AM. Check us out.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by State Farm Insurance Houston. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Welcome, Houston, Texas, and the rest of the world that's tuning in. And, you know, we had to throw a little bit, even though that's not a Mobb Deep song, but a featured Mobb Deep song. Rest in peace, Prodigy of Mobb Deep. We didn't get to really show that yesterday. And also, coming from New York, Mario, I mean, did that hit you a little bit?
Man, you know, Mobb Deep to me is probably one of the most underrated. It's, you know, they're underrated. You know, people don't, oh, who's Mobb Deep? You know, and people forget Prodigy, man. That boy has some lyrical skills, man. His wordplay and his timing was amazing.
And, you know, I think he not only is that, but he did a lot for the industry as well.
Oh, yeah. Definitely revolutionized it.
And also, so we got Eric Pinkers from the Bleacher Report, lead writer for the LA Lakers, and also senior writer for Basketball Insider. Eric, how you doing, man? Man, I got the Mario. You set
I'm sorry.
Me up, man.
I didn't know. I was just looking inside the booth. I was like, "Wow, he's on. All right, let's get it."
Why,
yeah.
This is why. So Chris is in the dark inside our booth, and we keep true to the Sports Nation's After Dark show. And man, Mario, why did you set me up like that? Man?
I'm sorry. I jumped the gun on that when I got nervous. My apologies.
I think it's because whenever we see him do anything over there, we automatically think, "Yeah, it's a go."
Yeah, every time we see him, because we can't see him in there. So every time he does something, it's like, "All right, hands up, let's do it."
Man, but it go back to, you know, Prodigy just a little bit real quick. He has some wild, crazy stories, too. I like the way that he talked about just random club things and stuff like that. And he even talked about, I think, meeting Lindsay Lohan one time. And
I think
and
I
like,
saw
with,
that.
With
yeah.
like $30 in his pocket.
Yeah,
right?
I saw
and
that.
And he made it through the whole night with $30. And I'm just like, wow, what a life to be Prodigy, man. Living in what, going to Manhattan party with $30 in your pocket and making it. So
I remember some times like that. I remember times like that.
And I believe now we have Eric on the line. Eric, we have you on now, man. Yeah. You just missed it, man. I introduced you like 2 seconds ago thinking you're on the line and you weren't there. But good job by me. But
I'm here now.
Eric, a lead writer for the Bleacher Report and Basketball Insider. I'm sorry about that. Eric, so we had a lot of things going on in L.A., man. Did you think that the offseason was going to kick off this fast? Because when we're watching the playoffs, you know, we're still into the season just a little bit. But knowing what I know now, I didn't know it was going to get this hectic so quick. Did you?
I mean, that's what it is every year. It's the NBA is no longer, or I don't know if it ever was. It's not just from October, November to April or till June, if you count the finals. This is like year round. I get off maybe sometime in August and September. It's a little quiet, but it's really a 10-month a year season, because there's the draft, there's free agency, there's summer league, and there's always stuff going on. So covering the Lakers, of course, there's always so much hype and so much interest that it's year round. Now there's of course the speculation they make some big moves, and if they get a star finally after the last few years of struggle, then it's a whole different thing.
And you know what? And there's also so many new things that they add. So of course, for example, like the G League, that's, you know, changed the landscape just a little bit, developing new players and the two-way contracts and everything like that. So with the Lakers doing their picks this year, you know, I was telling you earlier that how you pretty much predicted how D'Angelo was going to have his, you know, farewell while Lonzo was coming in. So do you think Lonzo is going to have, especially in his first year, a big enough impact? Like, well, D'Angelo, not saying that he had an impact, but do you believe Lonzo's are going to have, you know, a bigger shoes to fill than D'Angelo did?
Well, I mean, I mapped out a lot of pathways that the Lakers could take, and one of them was sacrificing the kids, and I really thought it would be Jordan Clarkson would be the guy that they would sacrifice. I was lobbying that I really thought they should keep D'Angelo and see what he can do, because I think that him with Ball is a nice combination offensively, where you've got two guys who can pass, two guys who can shoot. Neither of them are really adept at driving, you know, like they don't. Neither of them are guys who are going to break you down off the dribble. But I thought together they'd be interesting. Defensively, they might have some issues, but I thought it would be worth looking at. And you build up D'Angelo Russell's value, because if you look at his numbers, what he's done at his age and experience level is really nice. He's got great points, assists, and the kind of play that he's had matches up really well with other players that have come in. But sometimes you can argue that it's numbers, you know, good numbers on a bad team. Maybe that's what the case was. But I just think the Lakers didn't believe in him enough. His personality is a little rough. He's not like a Magic Johnson guy who's going to just take over the locker room as a leader and be real friendly. And he's more of a loner. He's more a little bit in his own space. And so you might even say arrogant. Now, Kobe Bryant had some of those traits, too. So
yeah, I was about to say Kobe Bryant, my goodness.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to judge a player by how friendly they are to the media or to other players. If they can play, they can play. But obviously the Lakers didn't believe in Russell enough. They used him to dump off the Mozgov contract, which is something they needed to do eventually. I just would have liked to have seen them wait, maybe do it next year, or find a time to do it later, as opposed to just sacrificing this young kid who I still think has a lot of potential.
Do you think now with the Lakers drafting Lonzo Ball and having Magic Johnson there, how tempting does L.A. look now? Before, you know, the last couple of years, it wasn't a place, you know, L.A., ooh, you thought about it. You thought about the name. Now you have something going there. How attractive now you think it's going to be on the offseason?
Well, I don't think it was an attractive place for a star to go when they had Kobe Bryant at the tail end of his career. Because if a player goes to a new team, they want to feel like they're going somewhere where they could build 2, 3, 4, 5 years worth of success. And if you're there for the end of Kobe, it's going to be all about Kobe. And it's probably not going to be a winning situation. And it wasn't. And so they weren't very attractive through that. And then he left, and you've got a bunch of kids who aren't ready to win yet, and it took some time. Now you're at a point where they cleaned out a lot of it. It's all kids now. They've got a good coach who I think people are, by and large, around the league are happy with. I think veterans would love to play with a Luke Walton.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak are out. You've got the energy of Magic Johnson. Rob Pelinka is really well-respected. players know that he's been the agent of big guys like Kobe Bryant and James Harden, and that he's had a lot of clients, like guys like Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza. He's done well by his clients. He's well-respected on that front. So you've got a front office that's not in disarray anymore. There's no more fighting between Jeannie Buss and Jim Buss publicly that's getting in the way. So you know you're going to a stable situation. You've got Magic Johnson, who's a Hall of Famer, one of the best who ever played, as the face of the basketball department. Now you've got a bunch of young kids and a pass-first point guard who wants to make you better. So mm-hmm. I think, yeah, we're seeing Paul George, through his agent, has been telling teams that he wants to go to the Lakers, and we'll have to see if that can happen. But I think the idea of the Lakers are back on the map, I think that's real. I think that Magic's just going to keep saying it and saying it, and sometimes you say something enough. That's a technique. That's probably how we had the president that we have in this country, without getting into politics. But there's a certain amount of just saying something, that at a certain point people believe what they're hearing. That's a very common technique that's used in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
That's marketing 101.
Yes, it is.
And so that's what I think Magic is doing. I think that's the wise thing to do. Change the message by just saying what you want the message to be. Say it every time. Say it over and over again. And at some point people believe it. And I think that's what's happening.
I definitely hear you out when you're talking about changing the message. But whenever you have the last name Ball, that definitely comes with I wouldn't say baggage, but it definitely comes with a little bit of something. Of course, LeVar, you know, you already know how he is. But I already heard him say that, you know, he's going to do this, you know, two more times. He has two more kids coming up. So do you think that you're going to hear a lot from him on the sideline, especially with his son going to UCLA and everything? You think we'll hear much of him in the NBA season?
Well, if there's some sort of problem where Lonzo may be great, he may come in and be an immediate impact player, or he may come in and struggle. I think when there are difficult times, that will be the real test of LeVar and his patience and his ability to control what, you know, it seems to be an uncontrollable personality. He's a huge personality. He's marketing. He may be a genius, what he's doing with his son. I mean, his son's a star already. He hasn't played 1 minute. And if he can, I mean, now that he's a Laker, they're going to sell some of those shoes. Believe me, they're going to sell a lot of those shoes. Maybe they're not going to sell Nike number of shoes, but they're going to sell a heck of them. So, here's where I like what I like. Lonzo has a father who has a very strong, outgoing, loud personality, mm-hmm. and is a big, big influence on his life. And I think for the most part, in a positive way. I mean, I've met Lonzo. He's not very talkative. But he's got a good reputation as a student at UCLA, as a guy, as a hard worker. He's done well by himself. You know, he's still very young, but to this point, he's done well by his father figure. And so now he's transitioning to a different father figure who's just like his actual father. Magic Johnson is another loud, and that's not an insult, but a big personality,
mm-hmm.
A guy who's going to talk and speak his mind and say big, boastful things. I mean, Magic was talking about, you know, look at my face, look at my smile, when he's talking about how confident he is in being able to lure
mm-hmm.
Stars with the cap space that they're attaining. And
yep.
It's not much different. I think that, and he said after the press conference the other day with Lonzo Ball, Magic was saying that he's going to take Lonzo under his wing, just like Jerry Buss did with him when he got there. He's going to take him out to eat. They're going to sit and talk. They're not just going to talk basketball. They're going to talk about life. He's going to help guide him in that way. And then also they're going to look at film together and they're going to talk. I mean, if you've got Magic Johnson, believe me, he's invested in Lonzo because this is their pick. This is his first pick as top man with the Lakers. So he needs Lonzo to be a success. He's going to put all his energy into helping Lonzo. So it's a great opportunity for the kid. And then he's getting another father figure who's a lot like his father. I expect that he'll be able to receive the information because it's very similar to LeVar. And I think Magic is going to put LeVar in his place where he needs to be as a supportive father. And it's just when things go bad, which inevitably in life that happens, let's see how LeVar handles that.
Hey, Eric, we're about to roll up on a commercial break here. Do you mind if you want to stay another segment so we can talk a little bit of Rockets as well, too?
Yeah, no problem. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So it was definitely a good thing that you talked about the whole Buss and Magic relationship too, because I was watching the ESPN 30 for 30, and that was a very interesting relationship because it was something that's not kind of seen now. So it's really going to be interesting whenever Magic is doing this approach now, because it's definitely looked in a different way now. It's definitely not that you ain't not supposed to talk to the owner type of thing, that type of relationship. So it's going to get good, man. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, good things from Lonzo, because we don't hear about the good things that he does. We really hear about his father, but we don't get to appreciate the basketball player that he is and also what he brings to the table. But yes, everybody, you listen to SB Nation 1560 Sports Kings After Dark.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by End Zone Sports Bar. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Welcome back, Houston. You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark. We're over here with Eric Pincus talking about NBA basketball. Not only is he Eric Pincus, he happens to be the lead writer for Sports Nation LA. So let's talk about some more Laker basketball.
Oh, yeah, Eric. So we wanted to talk about the Clippers for a little bit, man. We know that Chris Paul and Griffin opted out, and some of them, they might have eyes on Houston. Do you know anything a little bit about that?
Well, the Houston Rockets are invested right now, so they don't have cap room, but they're on the border. They can get to cap room. They don't have anywhere close to the cap room that they need. So the challenge then becomes for Daryl Morey, who's one of the more aggressive general managers and one of the more clever ones when it comes to manipulating the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
They need to dump some salary. So they need to trade away players to have – so let's say they can get to roughly – let's just throw out $12 million. I think it's in the ballpark of what they have. They need to get – if you want Chris Paul, right, you need to have $35 million unless he takes less, and I never assume that a player takes less.
Right.
If he wants a Blake Griffin, if he wants a Gordon Hayward, if he wants any free agent that's in that middle tier, that's about $30 million.
Mm.
These are rough numbers, but those are the ideas. So if you've got 12 and you need to get to 35, you need to trim off somewhere in the neighborhood of $20-something million. That's not easy. But on the other hand, you do have some nice players on that roster. You've got Ryan Anderson. You've got Eric Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Patrick Beverley, Trevor Ariza. Start going down the list, and they may be able to find some takers, and there are teams that will have some cap room this summer that aren't in a position to lure a free agent. And similar to what the Dallas Mavericks did last year with Andrew Bogut, mm-hmm. they took him on. And actually, if we want to be more specific to the Rockets, the Lakers helped them out a couple years back and took on Jeremy Lin in a very similar situation. Lakers had cap room. They didn't want to invest it long term, so they took on Lin's salary. That freed up money so that the Rockets could go ahead and go and do their move. So Morey, like I said, Daryl Morey, he's very clever and knows his stuff. So it's a matter of finding takers for good players. I think that they would not have a hard – I think it would be relatively simple to move a guy like Patrick Beverley. He's on a good contract. Might be a little harder with Ryan Anderson. But, again, I don't know where the opportunities are, because you can get not just one team trade, but you can go into multi-team trades. But they have to find a way to get that money off. So you're trading away players for nobody in return, maybe some draft consideration. So that's really where they need to go if they want to make those kind of moves.
It was a very Daryl Morey thing, this draft, where he virtually really didn't spend any money except signing a free agent or two, I believe. But trading that second pick that they had and their first pick, going to Isaiah Hartenstein, overseas player, so he doesn't get to come here pretty quickly, so that doesn't come on the books for this year. So I see them slowly making that progress and maybe getting somebody. But like we're talking about the Clippers, so we have Paul and Griffin that opt out, and it's kind of, you know, a little messed up, when, especially when they're doing all that stuff to get DeAndre to come back to the Clippers, and now he kind of sees them trying to maybe part ways. So what do you expect for the Clippers to do, man? Because they're kind of on a sunken ship right now, don't you think?
Well, I mean, they had to opt out. There, in any scenario, you opt out where the math has changed so much, because the salary cap went from $70 million a couple seasons ago to this past year, $94 million. So there's this $24 million jump, which we've never seen anything like in NBA history. So for someone like Chris Paul and Blake Griffin to not opt out and to take somewhere around 20-something million when they can get 30-something million, why would they opt into less money? So all they do is they opt out. And if they love L.A. and they want to stay with the Clippers, all they need to do is re-sign, get paid more to stay, DeAndre, Blake, Chris Paul, and then maybe, you know, J.J. Redick's a free agent. Whether he stays or goes, they have the opportunity, if they want, to keep what they have together or build around it or make some trades to make it better. However, that's not really up to the Clippers. It's really up to it's up to the Clippers to offer, and believe me, they're offering. They'd love to have those guys back. But then it becomes up to Blake Griffin. What does he want? Does he want to play with Chris Paul forever? Is this something that, or at least the next few years, is this what he has in mind? How does he feel about how it's worked? And what does Chris Paul want? And you know, you look at Chris Paul, and he was head of the union, and he negotiated a rule change that made sure that he could get a 5-year deal this summer instead of 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Has to do with the age limit, where basically there's something called the over 36 rule became the over 38. So he went through all this trouble to change a rule that basically applied to him and LeBron, and that's about it. And now he's not going to take advantage of that rule, and he's going to go sign somewhere else for 4 years. And the answer is maybe. I mean, I think that by and large, he intended when he negotiated that to return for 5 years, and he had to open up that door. But if the Spurs come calling and you have that opportunity and it works out, and maybe there's a little bit less money, but he feels like he's in a better situation, it's possible, but I still think he goes where the money is.
You're listening to Eric Pincus, senior writer for Basketball Insiders and also lead Laker writer for Bleacher Report. Eric, also, I was looking at the Portland Trailblazers. They're a pretty interesting spot right now, too, as well, because, I mean, they have all this money that they're giving to people, and they really don't really know too much to do with it, and there's really no wiggle room over there. So do you kind of see them, you know, kind of doing the old just dumping a little bit to kind of do what the Rockets are trying to do, trade away some guys and make a little space? Because it seems they're way over the cap over there, too, right?
Right. Well, it's a different thing. Like, the Rockets would be trading away players so that they can sign someone else. The Blazers are basically in the tax with the roster that they had. They barely made the playoffs. And so if they were to be shedding salary, it's because their payroll's too heavy and they're paying luxury tax for a team that's just not good enough. I don't think they can shed enough to get under any sort of salary cap. They need to shed like $20 million or at least $10 million just to get to where they need to be, but maybe $20 million. And that just puts them at like at square one, and that doesn't give them the ability to add player. They're not under the cap by $20 million. That might just be to get to the cap $20 million, just shedding. Wow. So they overpaid Allen Crabbe.
Yeah, definitely.
They overpaid Myers Leonard. Mo Harkless has a big deal. It's not that big, but it's a sizable deal. Al-Farouq Aminu. There are certainly players that they have on that roster, and I probably left out some that they need to shed. Not to mention that they want to keep. You know, they've got Nurkic in there. They've got McCollum, who's got a big extension kicking in. So he's going from somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 million to 20-something million. And, of course, Dame Lillard. So this is a team that needs to get better. But they're going to have to be very careful, selective, and creative in how they get better. And I think some of that starts with finding a home for – oh, I left out Evan Turner with his big deal. So they have
right.
too many big deals. They overspent this last summer. And those contracts aren't going to be easy to move, but I don't think they're going to be impossible to move. I mean, we just saw Timothy Mozgov get moved, and that was one of the worst deals from last summer, too. You know, I mean, I'm not going to say no one can be moved. Evan Turner's deal is pretty ugly, though.
Yeah, that is true. So at the end of the day, who are your winners and losers, Eric?
What, from the draft or just from the draft itself, I'm still trying to take it all in because I got to go do the NBA TV broadcast, and it was so overwhelming just keeping up with it that I couldn't even see the big picture.
Wow.
I did see that the Wolves made a really fascinating move, obviously bringing on Jimmy Butler.
Definitely.
They gave up what I thought was a good return. Chris Dunn, I think, is still a really nice player and just needs an opportunity. I think he'll be better given some time. I'm a big fan of course, I'm a Bruin, so I'm a fan of Zach LaVine. I think he's a really nice player. And then they got the 7 pick, and they took Lauri Markkanen, who was really good at Arizona, I think it was. Really nice player. You could argue whether or not some people love the guy, some people don't. Whether or not Chicago made the right pick, I'm not going to argue whether they should have gone with a different player or not. The point is that Jimmy Butler was going to be traded. The market wasn't what they wanted. They got the best deal that they could get. They weren't going to get all the treasure that Boston has to offer. So they took the best deal they could. And so I thought that Minnesota was the real winner, getting Jimmy Butler, reuniting him with Tom Thibodeau.
Totally agree.
I thought Chicago is a winner in the sense that they made a difficult decision and they got out of a situation that they had to get out of. Whether or not they got the right young players is a different story. We'll have to wait and see. I loved the Lakers draft. I liked the Kings draft. I thought the Kings draft.
Yeah, we definitely loved that.
Yes, yeah, some of the Sacramento Kings moves in recent years have been head scratchers. Like you have Boogie Cousins,
yeah,
who draft like Calabrese and Papa Giannis and some other big. I mean, it's just like load up on guys where you already are stacked in that position. Here they just drafted well, so I'm happy to see Sacramento starting to move in a direction that makes a little more sense. They just had to get out of Boogie Cousins, and now that they did, I think they're able to really rebuild in earnest. And so I like the direction they're headed in. There were a lot of teams, like I said, I'm still trying to take it all in. I haven't sat down yet. That's something I'm going to try to do a little bit tonight and just start going team by team and see who did what, because I've been flying all over the country, and it's been a fun few days, but it's been overwhelming.
Awesome. There's no rest for the weary.
No, sir.
Hey, Eric, real quick, where can everyone reach you if they're trying to see more stuff from you and trying to get more information?
Sure. Well, I'm at Eric Pincus, ERICPINCUS. That's on Twitter. Also Instagram, although I don't do too much, just a little bit. And, of course, I'm at Basketball Insiders. I'm the LA Lakers lead writer. And that's a Bleacher Report. And then at Basketball Insiders, I'm the salary cap expert. Also, you can find me on NBA TV around the start of free agency. I'm going to do a few days out in Atlanta. And I also have a podcast, Hollywood Hoops. You can find it on Twitter, Hollywood_Hoops. Me and my friend, partner Josh Martin, a Bleacher Report, we talk LA hoops. So Lakers, Clippers, Bruins, a little bit of Trojans because we're both Bruins. So we equal time. We got
you know how that way is. Yeah, definitely.
real quick, Eric, man, I just saw this tweet very late, man. I saw how the Cavs and Pacers and Nuggets are trying to discuss a 3-way deal, man. You think the Lakers are kind of out of it for the Paul George deal, man?
It's simply up to someone offering the Pacers something better than what the Lakers are offering. Lakers aren't going to offer a lot because they feel they can get them in free agency, so why give up much? And if they're not going to give up a lot, someone else can give up more. The question is, will anyone give up more? Will someone step to the table? And if they do, then he's probably going to go somewhere else, and then it becomes a question of, does that team convince him to stay? Or does he say, nope, I'm just there for 1 year, and then he goes to the Lakers in free agency? It's certainly very possible that the Lakers don't offer enough and they don't get Paul George and he sticks around wherever he is. And if that's the case, that's the case. I think it would be good for the Lakers to add Paul George to their young core. Just depends on how much they're giving up. But you can't give up Lonzo Ball, can't give up Brandon Ingram, and you can even argue some of the other pieces that they have that they should just hold on to, because there's a good chance they could still get this guy basically for free.
Guys, y'all listen to Eric Pincus, writer of Bleacher Report and Basketball Insider. Eric, I really appreciate you stopping by, man. Really, thank you.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
Definitely. Oh, yes, sir. Anytime. Yes, sir. Man, that was nice, Mario. We got a lot. We got
He answered every single question I had in my mind. I was thinking it, and he was just answering it. I'm like, oh, man, I was just going to ask a question. And he answered it. I was like, I'm going to give him this one. And he answered it. I was like, man, that's what I was thinking.
And also, he goes into the next level with it, too, as well, because he makes it make sense whenever you have to manage about the money situation. Mm-hmm. And, man, does that get really important whenever we start talking about the season? So, guys, you're listening to SB Nation 1560 Sports Kings After Dark.
You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by State Farm Insurance Houston. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Welcome, beautiful people from all over the world and Houston, Texas. Listen to Sports Kings After Dark. And we just got off the phone with Eric Pincus, lead writer Bleacher Report, and also the Basketball Insider. And man, Eric is a busy guy, man. He has to cover the NBA draft, and now we're going into this offseason. And he, like Mario was saying just before, man, he answered all of our questions and then some. What was the most interesting thing that you took away from that, Mario?
The way he was just able to break down the contracts. Like, exactly knowing how much money there's going to be, who are the players, you know, who they're going to, you know, if they're going to have to give up. It's just, the number crunching was just amazing. And it's like every question I wanted to ask, he knew exactly where we were going to go with the lead, and he just answered everything. It was just, I'm quite amazed, Mr. Pincus. I'm quite amazed.
Man, and you know what? It's really interesting stuff that he's talking about L.A. now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole, we talked about a little bit earlier, the whole Magic Johnson, Lonzo Ball relationship, yep, that he's going to start doing now. And Mario, I don't know if you saw the 30 for 30 that was on the other day, the whole Boston and Lakers, mm-hmm, rivalry.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And a lot of the players kind of shunned Magic a little bit whenever he had that relationship with Dr. Buss. So
that's right.
It's going to be pretty interesting to see how people kind of take that. Of course, you know, he's always going to have his father on his side. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is a whole different animal now.
It is. It's interesting because I think we talked about it yesterday, you know. LaVar Ball isn't the kind of person that's not going to shy away from the papers. You know what I mean? Because his son's not having a good game. Oh, you know, I want to play my, you know, play my boy. And we read on the back of the L.A. Times, LaVar Ball, you know, talking about my coach ain't giving my son enough touches. You know, so it is interesting to see how that dynamic's going to play off. But like Mr. Pincus was saying, you know, Magic in his own right, you know, knows how to command attention,
yeah,
and knows how to command it well, you know, and he has the respect of, you know, of everybody in the league. The man's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, the dynamic between them two is going to be interesting.
It's also kind of funny to see how they kind of gauge D'Angelo and all the stuff that he was saying about, mm-hmm, D'Angelo too is correct too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't really ask for so much coming from one guy when the rest of the team isn't really doing much,
yep,
and he's young and still learning. And you're trying to make him to be this kind of hybrid point guard, shooting guard that kind of fill in anywhere that you need him to. And, I mean, it's going to be a learning process for anyone who comes in, especially one of these high-talented freshmen just like himself whenever he first came in. But also to see how D'Angelo is, I guess you would say, off the court, is because we know so much of information that probably doesn't really have anything to do with basketball.
Yeah.
So, of course, we talked earlier about how, you know, he was met at Barclays with some boos whenever they announced that he was there. I mean, that kind of goes to show you what kind of guy who they expect him to be.
Yep.
And it's kind of unfair, honestly, when you look at it.
To me, it's just, you know, people, like he said, you know, you can't judge a player, you know, on his attitude. Oh, I don't want to talk to nobody. It all depends about his work ethic and the product he brings,
mm-hmm,
you know, and at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. And if you have a great work ethic and you can bring something to the locker room, you're going to have a job in the NBA.
And the Nets, of course, are very interesting just because we kind of see them being just the guys who is pretty much are on a basketball team. They're kind of like, you know, the guys that really we don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about when Brook Lopez is over there.
Yep.
We didn't
yep
hear nothing about nothing him at all. So it's kind of just like a media void over there. Don't even get to speak about them at all. So it's going to be interesting to see how he takes this. And, of course, what Lonzo was saying the other day whenever they asked him after a Laker workout of how the Lakers need a leader.
That's right.
And if he's willing to be that leader. And it's an interesting take for him, too, because I don't know if I really saw that coming out from him prior in his play whenever, mm-hmm, he was at UCLA. I mean, of
agreed
course, we see the shooting. And, of course, his dad is, you know, the main attention grabber. But to see him play, I didn't really see that too much. Yes, I saw him score a lot, and I saw him do a lot, but that doesn't really say that he was a great leader.
No. You know, leaders are made and not born. You know what I mean?
He said the exact same thing.
And Magic knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? He chose this boy for a reason because he sees something in him. You know, and I guarantee you give him 2-3 years, that's going to be his locker room. Because, you know, the point guard has to be the floor general. He has to be the floor general. He's the one who makes the calls. He's the one that runs the plays. So you got to earn that respect. And I think he is with his play because, you know, he is a pass first, you know, player, and he wants to make everyone around him better. And that's how you gain the respect of your locker room.
Do we still see that now? Just because I would say that positions don't really matter too much anymore. Mm-hmm. So, but still, even, you know, if we even account that, you still think that he's going to be a leader within the next 2 years of this team?
He's going to have to be, because at the end of the day, he's the, you know, he's one of the cornerstones they're building on.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to turn into that role, especially having Magic right there, having him in his ear, telling him how to play the game, telling him what it is to be a good guard, you know, what it is to take to be a leader and take your team to the promised land.
And you know what? And I kind of think that about other people, too, because we look at De'Aaron Fox over there at Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how, you know, they kind of came up, too, in this draft.
Yes,
they got
a couple
good guys. And Harry Giles is someone that still needs to show that, you know, he overcame the injuries that he has. But, I mean, look at De'Aaron Fox over there. He has Collison, and I want to say Tyreke Evans over there, too. Some guys that, you know, were pretty much him at one point in time. One and dones, coming out into the league, expecting a lot. And I'm not saying they're washed up or anything, but they're guys who have ridden that boat before.
Right.
To see De'Aaron get paired up with some guys. Oh, and also Ty Lawson is on
that team.
I mean, you look at the guards that are on that team, and you see a lot of tutelage.
The experience.
You see guys, or hopefully that they're able to communicate with them of that nature, because they, of course, know that he's there to play. He's not there to take a backseat to any of these guys. So that's going to be an interesting situation to see how he grows, because he has a lot of people. Not a lot of guards get drafted to a team that has three or four guys that are in the same position as you were at one point in time. You don't really see that too much.
And have playoff experience and have been deep in it as well.
Yeah, and it's going to be crazy for him just to see if this comes out. Because we asked Gene yesterday, are we going to see this the early 2000s Sacramento-LA Lakers rivalry get established again? And that would be fun, especially for the California guys out there.
Right, because, you know, Vlade's now back in Sacramento. You got Magic now running Lakers, you know. And the perfect example of this, if we talked about this over and over again, is Minnesota picking up Jimmy Butler to get that veteran.
Yeah.
To get that veteran who's going to show the locker room, that young locker room, what it takes to get there, what it is to put in the work and, you know, not crumble under pressure, how to do in those situations. So it's interesting to see the addition the Lakers are going to make as well as Sacramento.
It's amazing to say that whenever they add a guy on a team that's 26, 27, that he has experience and he is the, you know, the, I guess, older guy on the team. Ain't that funny, right? We used to think of guys who in their early 30s are supposed to be those veteran players to lead everybody down the stretch of the season. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking at 26, 27-year-olds like, hey, man, hey, old geezer, this is you.
Right?
Because
players are younger, they're stronger, they're faster, they're athletic, and they're just, you know, they're coming into the league by the droves. And this is, you know, this is kind of sort of like the beginning of a new era. You know what I mean?
It is.
All this, you know, these guys like KD, these 7'3" guys that can handle the ball, that, you know, not only can shoot, but are also rim protectors. You know, it's a changing of the guard. And, you know, the next 3-4 years in the NBA is going to be exciting.
We got really excited and happy when we start asking Eric Pincus so many different questions. And one of the things I briefly talked about but really didn't get to ask him anything was about this G League, because that is something that is going to help players out now, especially for two lucky players that get to have a two-way contract and a contract that doesn't really touch or mess with the money for the main organization.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much they'll get paid a little bit more, of course, than a regular D League player, but doing that two-way player deal, they get to play, and it doesn't really cost the team anything to do so, which is going to add to me, is going to add a little bit to this because, for example, Jonathan Motley was picked up by the Dallas Mavericks, an undrafted player out of Baylor, and he is their first two-way guy. So this is really interesting because he's someone who slipped a little bit and probably not as good to make a team right now. But imagine this guy being able to, I mean, they do it right now already. People get caught up all the time to the D League,
mm-hmm.
go back and come and catch that flight.
That's
especially
right.
Whenever they're in Houston, they go down to the Valley, come the next day, and it can get pretty hectic for them. But this is a little bit more incentive for those guys
mm-hmm.
now. So now these guys just get paid, they get to have a little bit more money in their pocket. I mean, some of these guys already have contracts, but it's definitely a little bit better for those other players.
It's also, I love this too, because now this is going to give those players that are usually one and done. Now you're going to still come back, have that time in the development league, build up those fundamentals, make you NBA ready for when for when your time does come up. You're not like some of those guys that are a bust. Oh yeah, they're scoring like 20, 30 points in the D league, but they come to the A.
And it happens all the time. But what even happens to more is those older guys that come in who are juniors and seniors.
Absolutely.
And just because they are not a freshman or a sophomore, they get kind of looked at differently.
Exactly.
They kind of messed up now that we kind of got it backwards. Like, at least with the NFL and MLB, it kind of stays, the same. But the NBA just became a kid's sport, basically, right?
All these first and dones, and, universities are leading, those top universities are just leading the way, man. But this D-League, it's going to be interesting, especially with the new two-way contracts. You're right. I'm excited to see the development of the NBA in the future.
And, we're talking about basketball, and I'm kind of excited because we get to talk mess a little bit about the Big Three in the next hour. And, and man, it's really disturbing because I was really ready to watch these games, man.
Me and you both, bro. I was at work. I'm like, oh, my God, the show's about to start. I got to watch it. I turn on, it's Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon. And I was in disbelief because I even looked at the TV guide and like scrolled all the way through. And I was just like, all right, maybe it's a little late. Or maybe I got the wrong time or something.